If you'll turn your Bibles this evening to Ephesians 2, Romans 11, our actual scriptures for starting tonight will be in 2 Timothy 3, but to catch everyone up, I'm going to go ahead and go back to our original text of last week. You will find, as you talk to people about Christianity in the world, that a super vast majority of those that call themselves Christians, and a super vast, if not the entire existence of others in the world, believes in works for salvation. They believe that you have to do something to be saved. I can't believe my ears sometimes when I hear these people speak. When I hear these people quote scripture they don't know anything about. If you cannot understand that the Word of God is the Word of God, and it is not of a private interpretation, and you cannot understand that God is sovereign in everything he does, if you cannot understand that Jesus Christ, his own Son, came to this world from heaven, dwelt among sinners, saving sinners, and eventually giving his life on that cross for our sin. Amen. If you cannot understand that Jesus Christ on that cross took our sins as a sin barrier or bearer, to bear our sins, he died because of our sins on him. Your sins wasn't cleansed the day you were saved. Your sins were cleansed the day that Jesus Christ died. God left nothing undone. Nothing. It makes me upset when people cannot separate the Old Testament and the New Testament. Yes, both are the Word of God. The Old Testament was to the Jews. The New Testament is to the Gentile churches. But in neither one will you ever find where people work to be saved. Abraham, who is the father of not only Israel, but the father of many nations. And the reason he is because of his faith in God. He wasn't even circumcised till 99 years old, and he was a saved man before that. Nowhere in the Word of God, not one single solitary place in the entire Word of God, has God ever told people to work to get to heaven. It's not even hinted in there. I'm going to ruffle feathers with these series of messages. People's not going to want to listen to me. And that's fine. If they want to run, that's fine. Go. Please. Leave. I'm preaching to the ears. God wants to hear these messages. They're not for everybody. I don't preach to everyone. I preach to those who are saved, and to those that understand that Jesus Christ is Savior, Tim, would you plug my mic into that? So let's listen to the word of God. Amen. Right there on your end, Tim. No, it goes into my phone. Right there. Thank you. So let's start in last week's text. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. For by grace you are saved. How are you saved? For by grace, aren't you? The grace of God is your Savior. Amen. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it, salvation, is the gift of God. So what do we learn there? Well, we learn first of all that we're saved by God's grace. Second of all, we're saved through faith. Third of all, it's the gift of God to us. Third, it not of works. Please hear those words, not of works. I am not sugarcoating. I am not misusing the scriptures. I am not abusing the scriptures. If you have a different definition of what this scripture says, please send it to me. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship. The same one that had grace, the same one that saved us through faith, the same one that gave us salvation as a gift, we're also his workmanship, his creation, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, not because of good works, but unto good works, which means we work good works because we are ordained in Jesus Christ to do that. Which God hath before ordained, before what? Before anything else existed. Ordained that we should walk in those works. Now, go to Romans chapter 11 real quickly. In verse 5 and 6, we read this last week. Even so, then at this present time, Paul says, also there is a remnant, that is a partial of all, a remnant, and that is not Israel. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. Because of the election of grace, if by grace, then it is no more works, otherwise grace is no more grace. Can you understand that? It's either grace or it's works. So if you're saved by works, don't say you're saved by grace. You make God a liar. God just told us, and no any kind of unknowledgeable terms, looking for a word I can't find, that we are not saved by works. Works did not get there. Otherwise, it is not of grace. I was saved by grace. Through faith by the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, works is no more works. It can't be both ways. Remember, God wrote in all the Gospels, I believe it was, maybe wrong, that we cannot serve God and mammon? Well, we cannot be saved by grace and works. It's either grace or it's works. God says it's grace. So if it's grace, then how are you saved? By works. How do people get these things? Why are they so faithful to saying that they work their way to heaven when they know it's an impossibility. Brother Bookout came over to the house and corrected a bad woe I had for me. And we got talking. He'd been talking to some Muslims. I didn't know the Muslims ever used our Old Testament for their works. But you know, the vast majority of the world believes you have to do things to be saved. But God doesn't say that.
Amen.
There's not one instance in the entire Bible that tells us we have to work to get to heaven. Not one. You say, well, Brother Randy, they quote the scripture, they quote them out of context. I can probably go through the scriptures and somehow make you believe that if you eat chili, you're going to hell. You say, that's funny. No, it's not funny. And neither is what they say is funny. This is serious, folks. People die and go to hell every day on this earth because they misinterpreted the scriptures. Why? Why do people misinterpret the scriptures? Well, there's several reasons they misinterpret the scriptures. You want to hear the first one? They grew up that way. They grew up a Pentecostal. They grew up a Seventh-day Adventist. They grew up a Catholic. They grew up this. They grew up that. And that's just the way they've always been taught. I grew up understanding that you made a choice to be saved, that you made a decision to be saved. But that wasn't true. I came to understand later that that's not true. That the faith I had was a faith given to me by God Himself, and that faith belonged to Jesus Christ,
amen,
given to me by the Holy Spirit. The only people ever that leaves these kinds of religions, and they are religions, are those that God had grace on. Otherwise, they just keep on believing and keep on teaching and keep on understanding the same things about works being salvation. I wonder if they ever teach on Ephesians. Or if they ever teach on Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Do they ever teach John 6 or John 10? Do they ever read Paul? Yes, they do. And you know what they don't do? They don't believe Paul. They think Paul made a lot of things up. You know why they don't believe Paul? Because Paul contradicts James. Paul doesn't contradict James. James isn't saying what they think he's saying. James never tells us in his writings in the Word of God and contradicts Paul that faith is not what you need to be saved. He never tells us that we're saved by works. It's not mentioned in the Bible one time, not one single time. Let's get to our second part of our introduction now. So, what are these people doing? You don't know what they're doing? They're altering God's word. If you believe that works is part of salvation, you have to alter God's word. Because it's not there. So you have to go over to James, and you have to read James, where if you don't have works, your faith is dead. But that's not what God's saying. What God's saying, if you're a Christian, if you're saved, and you don't have any works, you don't have any faith. Your faith is dead. I have works. You all have works. But it's not for our salvation. It's because of our salvation.
Amen.
So here they go and they alter God's word. People always, even a lot of Christians, real Christians, alter God's word. They don't take the word of God for what it says. They say, well, Paul and James saw things different. I'm sorry, but is or is not this the word of God? If this is the word of God, I don't care what you turn to inside of it, you're going to find the same thing. Moses, David, Solomon, Jeremiah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, James, Peter, John, all of them wrote the same things. From front cover to the back cover, there is no contradiction in this word, not one single letter of it. I was told as a young preacher, and this is how I learned a lot of things, if you find contradiction in God's word, you better study hard, because it ain't there.
Amen.
Excuse me, it isn't there. So, we find them altering God's word, meaning making it mean opposite to what God said. You cannot alter God's word. God's word cannot be altered to define a truth or to find a truth. Because the word of God is already truth. 100% truth, 100% fact. And only one in all of creation that knows all the truth is God. Because he is eternal. And he is truth. Truth is one of his attributes. So they alter it to make it mean something that God didn't really say. And what God meant to him in the writings. God never told James to pen the word and tell us that if we're not working our way to heaven, our faith is dead. So how do these people combat us? They come up with stupid, ignorant, asinine illustrations. I heard it just this week. Why the Christian goes out and kills somebody? They gonna go to heaven? I'm sorry. When has a Christian went out and killed somebody? No, I want someone to tell me where there is a Christian or Christians out killing people. Please, someone tell me, because if you're gonna use a stupid illustration, I want to know the facts of it. So, y'all go out into the world and you find me a Christian that killed somebody. Yes, they could lose their mind. Weird things happen to people. But that doesn't mean God withdraws his grace. That doesn't mean that God takes away the salvation he gave them through grace. You know what I am? I'm a sinner. I sin every day. Sometimes I sin and sin and sin. I'm not a perfect man. And you know what? There's not another perfect person on this earth. Not one. Jesus already walked these streets. He's already in the kingdom of God. He's sitting beside the Father. None of these people that believe in works are perfect. They're not. They're sinners like I'm a sinner. They're sinners like you're a sinner. So the Bible's made up of 66 books in context. It's made up of 66, no, you can't add in the Apocrypha, whatever it is that the Catholics use, and add that, no, they're not part of the Word of God. I wouldn't even read them. I wouldn't even touch them. I wouldn't have a Catholic Bible in my hands. I'd be afraid that God would burn my hands for holding it. There are 66 books. They're in total context. There are absolutely no contradiction in the Bible, not one single place. Paul and James wrote in unity. They wrote in context. They were not debating each other. You cannot accept one and not accept the other. God help you if you accept James over Paul. James wrote one book of the Bible and Paul wrote like 14. You're sure not going to have much reading. Oh, and maybe that's our problem, the reason they can't understand that you're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God because Paul penned it. He must have been lying. No, I'm not up here being funny. I'm not a clown. I'm not a comedian. I'm up here serious. People die and go to hell every day because they believe the wrong thing. These preachers, they get into the pulpit, they'll play with their snakes, they play with other things. They speak in tongues, they do this, they do that, and none of it's biblical. None of it's biblical. Not one single thing! Lord says if you don't have an interpreter, keep your mouth shut. The Bible can only be trusted because it's the pure Word of God. If you do not believe that the Bible is the pure Word of God, our conversation is over. If you're going to tell me that Paul and James contradicted each other, our conversation's over. Second Timothy 3, verse 16. Second Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. How much of it? What do you consider all scriptures? Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Every single solitary word, every syllable, every vowel, every adjective, every noun, every letter of every word was translated from the Holy Spirit to the people writing it. All scriptures is given by the inspiration of God. So for Paul and James to contradict themselves, as many will tell you, means that one of them wrote a lie. If Paul's a liar, he sure wrote a lot of lies, didn't he? And is profitable. How much? All the scriptures is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, that is complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We study to show ourselves approved unto God. We study it, and in the Word of God, we find God telling us to do things. He tells us to read our Bible. He tells us to study our Bible. He tells us to pray. He tells us to give tithe at church. He tells us to give offering at church. He tells us to to listen to the preacher, because the pastor is feeding you. He tells you that you're a member of the church because he put you here. He gives your pastor a message for you. You're supposed to hear that message. You're supposed to study that message. You're supposed to understand that message. That's how we're thoroughly furnished unto good works. When people don't go to church, when people get tired, they get sleepy because they're working too hard. I've worked 12 or 14 hours a day and come up here and preach. Brother Hammond's mother, along with Sister Hammond, used to go to the hospital and work all night, go to church, fix lunch, get up and fix supper, and go back to church. But all of a sudden, it's too hard for a lot of people to go to church because it interferes with their life. Well, one of these days, you stand before God, or you'll stand before Jesus, and why don't you explain to him how it was just too hard for you to attend church? How it's too hard for you to give your money to church. Really, it's God's money. He gives you all over 10%. He wants you to give it back. So therefore, the conclusion must be, how can books be written by people be their pen? Paul didn't write books of his opinion. James didn't write books of his opinion. Moses wrote 5. He did not give you his opinion. Opinions are not absolute truths. I know that because I've had them and they've been wrong before. The truth is what the Holy Spirit instructed these folks to pen. And they penned it just away. Now, you want to get into the different versions? Justin told me that a lot of these Muslims got into the different versions of the Bible. Yes, there's a lot of different versions. There's the Geneva Bible. There's all the Tillman, or whatever his name is, Bible. And when the King James Bible was actually translated, they used all of these other editions to translate this one. Wow, isn't that something? That's the reason it took them 7 years to translate the Word of God. And the only thing that's added in the Word of God by the translators are in italics. So if you find something a little bit strange in italics, I find a bunch of it that shouldn't even be there. It's not the Word of God. The translators added it. Outside of that, all 66 books are the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit himself. Go to Isaiah 53, if you will. Isaiah 53. No, why did I put, that's not Isaiah. I believe that's Psalms. They found it. I think I messed up. 53. Give me a second. See, even I mess up. Psalms 53, I'm sorry. I knew that didn't sound like Isaiah 53. Psalms 53. Isaiah 53 is good too, isn't it? But Let's go to Psalm 53. And the first three verses, it says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You know what that means? Stop right there for a second. You know what that means when they say that fool believes in his heart there is no God? That means I will not have God rule over me. So anytime people tell you that you're not going to have God to rule over you, it means that you're saying there's no God. How can there be? Let me see. What is our God? He sits on the throne in heaven. He's hoping, with all of his hope he has, that someone today will make a decision for him. He's hoping that someone will choose him. Let me see. Jesus sits on his right hand when he's not sitting on your shoulder, battling Satan for your soul, battling Satan who you're going to choose to follow. Say, Pastor, this is kind of stupid. Well, so is it to say that Christians go out and kill people? I mean, you're going to use stupid things. I can use stupid things. But they actually do preach these things. They probably preach that Christians go out and kill people, too. That's probably what they teach. I don't go to the churches. Justin was talking to me about these Muslims. I said, brother, I don't listen to Muslims. I don't know what they believe. I'm sorry if it drove my head, but I agree with you on what you're telling them. Because I don't listen to stupidity. Anytime, and I get tired when I hear good preachers sometimes preach good messages, and they'll end, now you need to make a decision for Christ. Charles Stanley is one of them that really gets on my nerves. He tries to teach the sovereignty of God because he knows it's true, but he's afraid to teach it for reality because he might be kicked out of that church. And why? Anytime people won't recognize God as sovereign, what they're doing is saying, I'm not going to allow this God to rule over me. Randy, that pastor, that you're getting really stupid. No, I'm not. You refuse to believe that God is sovereign? You refuse to believe that God saves sinners? You can't even explain Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 10. You have no idea what they say because you believe that they have to make a decision, they have to make a choice. I've actually heard preachers in pulpits on TV telling people that God can't change your will. We're going to get into all that. That is coming soon, very, very soon. Next week we're going to look at TULIP, but that's coming very soon. You're telling me because we have free will, which we don't have free will. We don't. We live every day by the grace of God. Rebecca and I sit there day after day after day after day after day. Almost every day we've been married thus far, and that's a long time, you know, a whole 3 months now. We talk about how God works in our lives. How he put us together, how we got married because God put us together. We talk about how God does this in our lives, how God does that in our lives. That's not our will. That's God's will. And some preacher that doesn't know what he's talking about, I don't care if he has a PhD. I don't care if he has a high school education. I don't care if he's an Einstein. The Bible is a revelation. If God hasn't revealed it to somebody, they have no idea what it says. So therefore, when we say something, they say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. We got a free will. And God can't change our will. Well, God changed my will. What, you think I just decided to become a preacher? You think I just decided to pull up stakes and move to Texas County to the pastor's church? No. So anyway, back to our scriptures. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. That's not a lost person, an atheist. People say, well, that's an atheist. No. That's someone that says that they're not going to allow God to rule over their life. Corrupt are they, the scripture says. Corrupt are they. And have done abominable iniquity. There's none that doeth good. Oh my goodness, what did God just say? There's none that doeth good. You know, everybody that's on the earth is a fool at one time. And the only ones that aren't fools are the ones that are saved. Now, I'm talking about real salvation. I'm not talking about this phony salvation where people come up here to the altar at the end of church laughing all the way down the aisle and talking all the way down the aisle asking some preacher to forgive their sins or whatever they do up there. Hate to break it to you, but preachers don't save sinners, God does. Amen. Preachers don't forgive sins, God does. So the Lord says they've done abominable iniquity. That's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? There's none that doeth good. God looking down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and that did seek God. I wonder what he found. Let's find out. Every one of them has gone back. They are all to be altogether become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. That's the same thing you read in John Romans 3:2, isn't it? I wonder what Paul about that. Maybe Paul lied about that. Maybe David lied about it. Maybe everybody lies about it. Folks, there's no such thing as a freedom of choice to come to Jesus Christ. Don't exist. And anybody that preaches such an animal needs to change your tune and needs to learn the Word of God. Anytime you hear some preacher tell you that God can't change your will, you need to turn around, you need to get away from that guy, because all he's doing is teaching heresy. I hate to break it to these sunshine people, but there's nowhere in that Bible right there that he tells us my choice of Christ. Amen. Nowhere, not one single solitary scripture in that whole entire 66 books tell us one time that we make a decision for Christ. Not one scripture, not one single solitary scripture in there, read in a correct text, tells us that we need to come to Christ on our own. We need to change our will. We need to turn over a new leaf. We need to repent on our own and come to Christ. And you know why there's not one? Because that's a lie. Not the Word of God, it's a lie. We are commissioned and charged before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord's churches to preach the truth. I know people don't want to hear it. I know they get upset when we preach it. That's their problem. That's not my problem. I don't care if two people watch my sermons on Sermon Audio or Facebook or on a website or anything. I don't care. You know why I don't care? There's nothing I can do to change it. I wish they would. I sure like looking at Facebook and seeing we got 30 or 40 or 50 watches on our videos, but if we get 5 or 10, I'm just as happy. I did what God wanted me to do. I preached the truth. You heard the truth. And just because they don't like it, don't mean it's not the truth. Well, next week, next Wednesday, we're going to get started in a doctrine that's going to really blow a lot of people's mind. It's called TULIP. And just for advance notice, John Calvin is not the father of TULIP. TULIP existed a long time as the 5 points of sovereign grace. Let me make this plain and clear. I want to say this so everybody can understand. I am not a Calvinist. Do not ever, in a lifetime, ever stand in my face and call me a Calvinist, because I'm going to let you have it for it. John Calvin had no idea what he was preaching. He only came up with a system for the 5 points of sovereign grace, which at that time a lot of people believed, called TULIP. It's God's Word. Total depravity. Unconditional election. Limited atonement. Irresistible grace. Preservation, perseverance. All five you will find in John chapter 6. Damn them if you want to. Damn me for preaching them if you want to. But I'm going to tell you what. They are absolute truth. And you're going to hear them next Wednesday night. God bless you. That's all, stand.